Welcome back, everyone, to another deep dive. And this time, we're heading over to India, to the region of Braj,
Ah, brush.
to explore a really fascinating concept,
Yeah,
which is
yeah.
how the stories of Krishna's life
Right.
are kind of embedded in the actual geography of the region.
It's also known as Raja.
Oh, okay, Raja.
And it's fascinating because it's not just a setting for the stories. It's almost an extension of him.
Right.
Each hill, each grove, even each bend in the Yamuna River seems to sort of echo with his presence.
And we have some really amazing sources here that are going to help us map this all out.
Yes.
Not only are we going to be talking about specific locations and, like you said, the Yamuna River, but
Yes.
we're also going to be looking at a very unique pilgrimage tradition called the Banyatra.
Right. And through all of this, we'll see how Braj becomes this living, breathing embodiment of Krishna's story,
Okay.
a place where the divine and the earthly really intertwine.
So when we talk about Braj as a sacred topography, for someone who's never heard that phrase before, what does that actually mean?
It means that the very land itself is considered sacred,
Okay.
imbued with spiritual significance because of its connection to Krishna.
Right.
And it's not just a backdrop,
Right.
it's an active participant in the unfolding of his story.
So it's almost like the landscape is like a character in the story.
Exactly.
Wow.
And for devotees, experiencing this landscape is
Yeah.
a way to connect with Krishna on this much deeper level.
Right.
It's about feeling his presence in the rustling leaves, the fragrant flowers, the flow of the Yamuna.
So it's like if you were to actually visit Braj, you wouldn't just be seeing beautiful scenery. You'd be walking through these stories. You'd be surrounded by them.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Take, for example, the town of Vrindavan.
Vrindavan, okay.
It's believed to be where Krishna spent his youth,
Right.
and it's filled with these lush groves and forests that practically echo with tales of his playful antics.
Yeah, I was reading about Vrindavan, and I was curious if there's a spot that's particularly significant there that would really bring this idea of the living landscape to life.
Oh, there are so many.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose one, I would say the Nidivan.
The native one, okay.
It's this dense grove of trees, and it's said to be where Krishna would perform his Ras Lila every night,
The Ras Lila.
the divine dance with the gopis.
That sounds incredible.
It is.
What's so special about the Nidivan?
Well, even today, locals believe that Krishna still visits the Nidivan every night to dance with the gopis.
Wow.
And here's the fascinating part. No one is allowed to enter the grove after sunset.
Really, why not?
It's considered too sacred,
Oh.
too intimate a space for humans to intrude upon. Even the monkeys that inhabit the area are said to leave the grove at sunset.
Interesting.
There's this sense of mystery and awe surrounding the Nitifan, this belief that something truly magical happens there each night.
So you're telling me that in the heart of this bustling town, there's this sacred grove where time kind of stands still and the divine dance of Krishna continues to unfold every night.
It's a perfect example of how the landscape of Braj becomes a stage for Krishna's eternal presence, a
Wow.
place where the boundaries between the physical and the spiritual blur.
That's incredible.
Yes.
So we've got Vrindavan, which is like this vibrant town pulsating with his youthful energy.
Right.
But what about people who are drawn to a different aspect of his story?
You're talking about Mathura.
We have Mathura, the place where Krishna was born.
Yes.
That's said to have a very different energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Vrindavan is about Krishna's playful youth,
Right.
Mathura is about his heroic destiny.
Okay.
It's a place of awe and reverence where you can really feel the weight of history.
And it's also where we see his role as a protector coming into play. Like
Absolutely.
when he subdues the serpent Kaliya,
Right.
who was poisoning the Yamuna.
Right.
So his actions in Mathura directly impact the Yamuna River.
Well, it's more than just a river, it's a sacred entity,
Right.
deeply intertwined with Krishna's story.
Yeah.
In many ways, the Yamuna is the lifeblood of Braj, both literally and metaphorically.
Yeah, it feels like the river itself is almost like a character in the story.
I like that.
Yeah.
It's like a silent witness to all that unfolds.
Yeah, silent witness.
And it's a witness that connects all these different sites
Right.
flowing through Vrindavan past Mathura, carrying with it the echoes of Krishna's presence.
So I'm starting to see how this all fits together. We've got these specific locations, each representing a different part of his story.
Yes.
And then we have the Yamuna River weaving through it all, connecting them, binding them together.
It's like a tapestry woven from stories, landscapes, and the sacred presence of Krishna.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that brings us to another thread in that tapestry,
Yes.
which is the Banyatra tradition,
Right.
which seems to be all about experiencing these stories in a really tangible way.
You could say that the Banyatra takes this idea of a living landscape to a whole new level.
So tell me about the Banyatra.
Yeah.
What happens during this pilgrimage?
Well, it's not just about visiting temples or offering prayers.
Okay.
It's about stepping into the story of Krishna,
okay,
reliving his adventures, and feeling his presence in the very landscape where those stories took place.
So it's like more interactive theater than a traditional pilgrimage.
Exactly.
Fair.
Imagine joining a procession of devotees all dressed in these vibrant colors,
Okay.
singing devotional songs as they walk through the forests and the groves of Braj.
It sounds like a really immersive experience.
It is. They're not just observers.
Right.
They're active participants embodying the spirit of Krishna.
Okay.
Reliving his adventures in the very places where they're said to have occurred.
So what kind of adventures are we talking about?
Right.
Can you give me like a specific example of something that happens during the Banyatra?
Of course, one of the most iconic moments is the reenactment of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill.
Yes, I remember reading about that. That's where he lifts the entire hill to protect the people of Braj from this huge downpour sent by Indra,
exactly,
the king of the gods.
And during the Banyatra, devotees recreate this scene by building a small replica of Govardhan Hill out of food offerings.
Okay.
They then gather around singing and chanting as a young boy representing Krishna lifts this miniature hill.
That's such a cool visual representation of the story.
It is.
It's not just about remembering it, it's about bringing it to life.
It's about experiencing this story on this visceral level, feeling the weight of the hill, the joy of the celebration, the power of Krishna's protection.
So by participating in these reenactments, by walking through those same landscapes,
right,
are devotees essentially stepping back in time, reliving those ancient moments?
You could say that, but it's more than just a historical reenactment.
Okay.
It's about connecting with the eternal essence of Krishna,
right,
with the timeless themes of love, devotion, and divine play that his story embodies.
Speaking of divine play,
uh-huh,
I feel like we haven't talked enough about the Yamuna River yet.
Right.
It seems to be like the lifeblood of Braj, flowing through all these stories, connecting these sacred sites.
You're right. The Yamuna is essential. It's not just a river. It's a sacred presence, almost a character in its own right.
Right.
There are so many stories about Krishna's interactions with the Yamuna.
Yes.
From his playful childhood games to his heroic feats like subduing the serpent Kaliya.
I imagine a boat ride down the Yamuna would be an incredible way to experience the landscape of Braj. What would our listeners see as they kind of float along this sacred river?
Well, imagine gliding past ghats where pilgrims gather to bathe in the sacred waters, their chanting echoing across the river.
And wouldn't those temples and the groves that we've been discussing be reflected in the water's surface?
Absolutely.
Creating this beautiful tapestry of the divine and the earthly.
And you might even see devotees reenacting scenes from Krishna's life on the riverbanks.
Wow.
Their colorful costumes are a vibrant contrast to the serene blue waters.
So it's not just about the specific sites. It's about the spaces between them, the paths that connect them, the very air that carries the echoes of his presence.
Yes, and the Yamuna embodies that interconnectedness flowing through it all, binding these sacred sites together. You could say that the river itself is a pilgrimage route,
okay,
a way to trace the flow of Krishna's story through the landscape.
That's a really beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
So for someone who wants to experience this living landscape firsthand,
yes,
where would you recommend they start? What's the one must-see spot in Braj?
That's a tough question. It depends on what aspect of Krishna's story resonates most deeply with them.
Okay, so let's play a game. If someone is drawn to the playful, mischievous side of Krishna,
right,
where should they go?
Without a doubt, I'd send them straight to Vrindavan, especially to the Nidavan.
Okay.
It's a place where you can practically feel Krishna's youthful energy in the air.
What about someone who's more drawn to, like, the heroic, awe-inspiring side of Krishna?
Then Mathura is a must visit. It's where you can connect with Krishna's power and his role as protector.
And for someone who wants to experience the interconnectedness of it all, to feel the pulse of Braj kind of flowing through them,
then a journey along the Yamuna River is the perfect pilgrimage.
So no matter what aspect of Krishna's story you're drawn to, there's a place for you in Braj.
And that's the beauty of it. Braj is not just a collection of sights. It's a living, breathing landscape that offers this multifaceted experience of Krishna,
okay,
a way to connect with the divine through the physical world.
And what does that mean for those of us who might never have the opportunity to visit Braj?
Yes.
Why should we care about this idea of a landscape that's imbued with stories?
That's a wonderful question. I think the Krishna landscape offers us a valuable lesson about the power of stories to shape our understanding of the world around us.
It's so interesting. We often think of geography as something fixed objective, just mountains and rivers and valleys.
Right.
But in Braj, geography becomes fluid, almost mythical.
Yes, the landscape is constantly being reshaped and redefined by the stories that are told about it.
Right.
And those stories, in turn, become part of the landscape itself.
So it's like this continuous feedback loop where
Exactly.
the stories shape the land and the land shapes the stories.
And in Braj, every element of the landscape, from the trees and the hills to the river and the very air, is infused with meaning, with the presence of Krishna because of those stories.
And that's why traditions like the Banyatra are so powerful. It's not just a physical journey. It's a journey into the heart of those stories, a way to make them come alive.
Precisely by walking those paths, by reenacting those scenes, devotees are essentially embodying those stories, weaving them into the fabric of their own lives.
It's like stepping into this living, breathing myth.
And in doing so, those myths become more than just stories. They become a lived reality, a source of deep spiritual connection and joy.
But this isn't just limited to Braj, is it?
Right.
Don't we all live in landscapes that have been shaped by stories?
You're absolutely right. Think about the places that hold meaning for you, your childhood home, a favorite park, a city you've always dreamed of visiting.
Right.
Each of those places is more than just a physical location.
Yeah.
It's a repository of stories, memories, and associations that shape how you experience it.
So even if we've never been to Braj, we can all relate to this idea of a landscape imbued with meaning.
We all have our own Brajas.
Right.
Our own places where the stories we tell ourselves intertwine with the physical world to create something truly special.
That's a really powerful thought. So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Krishna landscape, I'm
Yes.
left with this lingering question for our listener. What stories shape your landscape? What places hold meaning for you and why?
That's a question worth pondering. And who knows, maybe by exploring our own personal landscapes of stories,
Right.
we might uncover some hidden depths, some unexpected connections that enrich our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Yeah, I love that idea. Our own personal Braj asset makes it so much more relatable.
It really does, because ultimately the power of the Krishna landscape isn't just about Krishna or even about Hinduism. It's about the universal human experience of finding meaning and connection in the world around us.
Yeah, it's about how stories can transform a simple geographical location into something sacred, something
Right.
that resonates with our deepest beliefs and aspirations.
And it reminds us that we all have the power to do the same, to imbue our own landscapes with meaning, to create our own sacred spaces.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the Krishna landscape, I'm left with thought.
Yes.
If the landscape of Braj is essentially a living, breathing map of Krishna's story, what does that say about the power of storytelling itself?
That's a profound question. I think it suggests that stories are more than just entertainment. They're a way for us to make sense of the world, to connect with something larger than ourselves, and to pass on our values and beliefs to future generations.
It's like those stories become part of our collective memory. They shape our identity and how we see the world.
Exactly. And just like the landscape of Braj continues to inspire and uplift devotees centuries after Krishna's time, the stories we tell today have the potential to shape the hearts and minds of people for generations to come.
So in a way, we're all storytellers, shaping our own landscapes and leaving our mark on the world through the narratives we create and share.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it. And I encourage our listeners to embrace their role as a storyteller, to find those places where the landscape whispers to their soul, and to share those stories with the world.
That's a fantastic note to end on. Thanks for joining me on this incredible journey through the Krishna landscape. It's been an eye-opening experience.
It was my pleasure, and I hope our listeners will continue to explore the fascinating ways in which stories and landscapes intertwine to create meaning and wonder in our lives.